Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Our subject tonight is for believers and their children. Let's read verses Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 24. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Every believer is wise to heed our everlasting Father. He's our Father. We're His children. We're wise to heed His command that He gives through the mother. The church is called the mother in Scripture. He provides brethren to support the preacher so he can labor in the word and in prayer to bring a message. And it's Christ who teaches us. Christ, our everlasting Father, teaches us in our heart. And so every believer would be wise to heed the commandment of our Father. And every child of believing mothers and fathers will be wise to heed the commandment of their father and their mother. And we're talking about as they teach you the gospel, as they teach you the truth of God. Since my dad was diagnosed with cancer, I've been thinking a lot about the time that I had under his roof. I've been thinking about the things he taught me, the things my mother taught me. I still carry with me the things that they taught me. Every day, something will happen, and I'll think, my dad taught me that. And that time I had under their roof was so short. God's able to use faithful fathers and mothers to lead His children to hear the gospel. Our text says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. King Solomon was the son of David, who was a believer. King David was a believer. He was God's king. He was God's prophet. He was the priest over his house. He was a faithful father to his children. He was a picture of Christ, David was. And God used David to teach Solomon the gospel. And by God's grace, He gave Solomon a heart to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. And so it led Solomon to ask God for wisdom, for understanding. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. To your left there, 1 Kings chapter 3. And look at verse 5. The Lord said to Solomon, He said, ask what I shall give thee. And verse 6 says, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. You see what Solomon learned from David? God taught Solomon through his father what great mercy he'd shown to his father. Now look at this, verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. It pleased his heavenly Father for him to come to him and ask him for judgment and wisdom. Now watch this. Verse 11, And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And so when Solomon speaks here in our text, and he says, My son, keep the commandments of your father. Keep the law of your mother. He's a man speaking by experience. He knows the value of heeding the word of your father and your mother. Because he did so, and God gave him a heart. Now he's heeding the word of his everlasting Father. So he's speaking by experience. So what would his children be wise to do? They'd be wise to heed his word, wouldn't they? They'd be wise to heed that word that's coming from Solomon. And believer, don't forget, Solomon here is a believer, but he's also a picture of Christ the King. Christ who is the wisdom of God. Christ who is our everlasting Father. And Christ says to you and I who believe, My son, keep the commandment of thy father. Keep the law of thy mother. Keep this word you hear delivered through the church, through the preaching of the gospel. And so we'd be wise to hear. We'd be wise to understand. We'd be wise to heed the gospel delivered to us. And we'd be wise to heed a mother and a father who know the gospel in truth and in spirit. You just think about what God's given us. Think about you who believe. Think what he's done. Our everlasting Father has brought us into his church and established his gospel here and given us a place where we can hear a word from Christ through the gospel. That's a rich, rich blessing. That's better than anything else. And he's given us an understanding heart to know and understand him. So what's the wise thing for us? To heed his commandment. Believe on him. Do what he says. You know, the word commandments in law is not a bad word. It means the gospel. It contains the law, the old covenant law, and it contains the gospel. It's the word of God. Every word he speaks, we'd be wise to heed what he says. And so he says here, too, to every child who has a believing mother and a father, the wise thing to do would be to listen to them and heed their instruction and do what they teach you. That's the wise thing. I want you to think about this. Children that have believing fathers and mothers, think about the advantage that God's given to you. There's so many millions of people born into this world that do not have believing mothers and fathers. In fact, they have fathers and mothers who hate God and hate the gospel of Christ and teach their children to hate God and to hate Christ. They have mothers and fathers that don't even love them enough to correct them or give them a commandment or give them any reproof whatsoever, except it be for some vain reason and for their own vain pleasure. And yet God's given you here believing mothers and fathers. That's a great advantage. Here's why it's a great advantage. They have been able to be in the faith long enough to know that the promises that God makes, every word God speaks in his word is yes, and it is amen in Christ Jesus the Lord. A believer knows that. This is not theory to a believer. We know this is so. Before God made this world, He ordered the salvation of every person He's going to save. And He made it sure in Christ, in His eternal counsel, and in His everlasting covenant of grace. He made it ordered and sure in Christ. And because He put the whole work in the hand of Christ, there's no ifs, ands, or maybes about it. It's yes and it's amen in Christ. And a believing mother and father know that's a fact. They know it is. Because we came into this world just like everybody else. We came into this world dead in sins. We couldn't believe God's word. We had no heart to look into God's word. All we could do was hate God and want to run from God and rebel against God. That's all we could do. And yet, God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ, and by grace we were saved. And so, when a believing father bears witness to his child about God's grace and being able to quicken and call you out of darkness into His light, we're speaking because we know it. We're speaking because we've been right where you are. We know it by that, and you have the advantage of hearing from somebody that knows this by experience. So, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. A believing father and mother, they remember what it's like to be where you are. I know what it's like to think I'm not, when I was in sin and unbelief, to think I wasn't as sinful as God says I am in His word. I remember thinking that. Is that what some of you think? You think, I don't think I'm that bad. I'm not as bad as that person. I may not be quite as good as that person, but I'm not bad as that other one. But see, we don't compare ourselves to one another. That's not the rule. That's not the rule. The rule is God and His righteousness. You got to be as righteous as God. You got to be as holy as God. There's the rule. Now you're talking about being a sinner. Now we're talking about being undone. Now we're talking about being unable to approach unto God. But believing mothers and fathers know what it's like to be there. We were once without Christ. We were once without hope. We were once without God in this world. But now, in Christ, we're made near by the blood of Christ. Not by us, by His blood. By what He did. Christ is our peace, who's made us one with God and with our brethren. He came and broke down that middle wall. There was a wall, a huge wall between us and God, between us and our brethren. It's called the law of commandments. And the law said this. The law said that we were dead, we were guilty, and we couldn't approach to God. But we took that law and tried to use it to say, well, I keep this better than you do. And we tried to exalt ourselves over others using God's word. You might not even know what the law of God is or what it says, and you do the same thing. In the clothes you wear, in the crowd you hang out with, in the car you drive, in what you know, and everything, every little thing we use to try to make ourselves better than somebody else and exalt ourselves over somebody else. That's the same thing. But God came in person, in flesh, and He took that middle wall out of the way between us and God. The enmity was there. And He did it by Himself fulfilling the law and making His people one with God. And then He came and told it to us. He came and preached it to us and taught it to us in our heart. And so when a believer tells you something and they're trying to bear witness to you about Christ, we're speaking as somebody who's been in the pit. We've been in the darkness. We've been in that death. We've been in that enmity. We know what we're talking about when we tell you this is what Christ has done. This is what He does for His people. That's a great advantage to a child that has parents that can tell them this from experience. So, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of your mother. God's children are kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. And for the sake of your parents, for the sake of the believer, for the sake of your believing parents, that child who lives in a household that has believing parents, they get to see firsthand, they get to watch God's preserving hand of grace upon his child. Upon your mothers and fathers, you get to see it. You get to see it. I'm going to use the Darmientos as an example. When I got word that y'all were going to move to South Jersey, that town, that broke my heart. It broke my heart, Art, like it breaks your heart when one of your children go astray. And I didn't say anything to Art because I wasn't going to say anything unless he asked me. He didn't ask me. Cheryl did. And I did. I told her, but then I just asked God, keep them. Just please keep them. Keep them. And God shut up the way. And God brought you back and kept you here under the sound of the gospel. He did that. And every one of us here, we've done things like that. We're sinners. Every believer is a sinner. And we do things thinking we're doing it for the good of our family. That's what Art was doing. And that's what we've done, thinking we're doing it for the glory of God. And it's just a mistake. And God keeps us by his preserving grace. But what our children get to see, what you children get to behold is this. You get to behold that through tribulation, God works patience. He works endurance. At that time when y'all were in that trial, all you could do was just trust God. All you could do was just trust that God was going to provide for you. And that trust in God, through that, God worked experience. He proved to you he's faithful. And your children got to witness that. And then through that experience of proving to you he was faithful, your hope was grown by God. And that hope never makes you ashamed because the love of God is just overflows your heart when you see what he's done and how he keeps you and preserves you. And when you look back on those things, you say, I wouldn't change a thing about it because God taught me by it. He showed me. And the children are in the house and they think, you know, y'all might have thought I would rather have lived down there in South Jersey and had this or that or whatever. I'm telling you something. God gave you something in 1,000 times more valuable than any earthly thing he could have given you. By showing you firsthand God's preserving hand of grace. And a children in a household with believing mother and father get to witness that. That unbeliever won't sink into their heart. But if God ever saves them, they'll see it and they'll say, you know, that was God's preserving hand of grace on us. That's a valuable thing for a child to get to see. That's because you have parents that are believers. That's why he did that. Otherwise, he'd have let you go. Probably giving you everything your little worldly heart could desire. God's proven in our hearts that all his promises are yes and amen in Christ. He shows us over and over. And so when we speak to you, we're telling you by painful and joyful experience what we know. What we know for a fact. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then, listen to this, in everyday things, and just everyday commandments that your brother and father talk to you about and correct you in and all those things are to teach you what they've learned. Try to teach you what we've learned and try to keep you from that woman that's spoken of in the text is the harlot of Babylon. That's falsehood. That's every evil and false way and false religion in this world. That's all a faithful father and mother is doing, is trying to teach you the way of life, to keep you from that way. That's all they're doing in all these little everyday things, and ultimately, primarily, to keep you under the sound of the gospel of Christ, because we know this is how God saves sinners, and this is how he continues to save us. Is through this word. When I was Will's age, I've been thinking about this a lot lately too. I was talking to Will about this. I think this is what, I had something else I was going to preach tonight, and this morning I read this text and it just grabbed me, and I think this is what, one of the things that did it was, I've been talking to Will about when I was his age, my dad and I had the best bond. I mean, it was the greatest bond a son and a father could have. I'd listen to him. Whatever he said, I did it. I thought everything that came out of his mouth was just drops of gold falling out of his mouth. And I turned into a teenager. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you. And I began to think I knew more than my dad did. The devil has a way of making every generation think, your parents don't know what you're going through. They don't know what you've, they've never been in this time. But let me tell you something. There's nothing new, no new sin under the sun. It takes a little different form and a little different disguise, but the principle of it all is exactly the same. Exactly the same. Your parents have been right where you've been, right where you are now. But I thought I was smarter than my dad. And I, by a choice I made, I spent my whole life away from him. And all I wanted to do was raise my kids by their grandchildren like I had. Just because I wouldn't listen. And then I see the wisdom of my Heavenly Father. Because he overruled my rebellion and saved me and used me to, as a servant of his, to come and minister to you even. And now, you know what? My earthly father seems wiser and wiser to me. The words that my mother taught me and the words that my dad taught me just seem wiser and wiser to me. So what I'm saying is you're going to grow older and you're going to have children. And you're going to be looking at these things and look back on them. And you're going to think, I wish I'd have listened. I wish I'd have paid attention. I wish we could get that on the front end. It'd save us a lot of pain. Well, we learn it by experience, don't we? For us who are believers, forsake not the commandment of Christ, our everlasting Father. You know, every time I find myself having to chasten my child, discipline my child, every single time I do it, it doesn't lift me up. If I wait till the anger's over and do it then, if I do it when I'm angry, I don't get a thing out of it. But if I wait till the anger's over and I calmly correct them, discipline them, and do it, teaching them the gospel as I do it. Everything that burdens me about my child, when I'm speaking it to them, I realize this is what is grieving my Heavenly Father with me. So when I'm speaking the word's coming out of my mouth to my child, I hear my Heavenly Father speaking to me. You find that to be true? That's true. So he says here, keep your father's commandment. Now look here what we're told to do with the command. He says, Proverbs 6:21, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. First he says, put them in your heart. Bind them upon your heart. That's inwardly. That's where this thing starts. God looks on the heart. Look over at Matthew 15. I'm sorry, look at Matthew 23, verse 25. The Pharisees were the finest folks you could see outwardly. But you know, a person can be looking like they're obeying outwardly when inside they're just a rebel. And look what the Lord said, Matthew 23:25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You hear that? With God, when the inside's clean, the outside will be clean also. The inside's got to be clean. The heart's got to be clean. So God our Father commands His child, bind the words the words of this gospel, the words of his law upon your heart continually. Upon your heart continually. Look at Romans 3. First of all, bind the law on your heart. Bind the law of God on your heart. Here's what the law of God says. Romans 3. Listen to this. This is the first thing we need to be bound up in our heart. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. God, bind this in our heart and stop our mouths. Just stop our mouths. Look at this. And all the world may become guilty before God. God, bind this in our heart and make us guilty before you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Bind it in our heart, God, and make us to know that we cannot be justified before God by our deeds. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Bind it in our heart, Lord, and teach us the purpose of your law, to give us a knowledge of our sin. And Lord, give us a knowledge of your sin. Do you know what the law of God is? Look at Exodus 20. This is the foundation. Hold your place in Romans 3. I'm going to come right back there. But look at Exodus 20. This is the Ten Commandments, the foundation of the law. There's a whole lot more to it than this, but just one of these commandments will do the trick. It'll prove us guilty. Look at Exodus 20. And look at verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means nothing else can come before you, before God, in your heart. Nothing. Nothing. None of the sports and activities and games and pleasures and all the things. None of that can come before God. God's got to come first. All the time, every day, all the time. Continually. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, serve them, for I'm the Lord thy God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That means calling yourself a Christian when you're not. That means saying gosh, golly, gee, Jesus, God, all those things that men just love to say with every other breath now. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is the Sabbath day is a picture of Christ, but remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You should do no work then, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So any work done on a Saturday broke the law. Anytime we made somebody else work under us, that is under us, we broke it. Or even if we thought about anything, broke it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Any dishonorable thought we ever had about mother and father, broke it. Thou shalt not kill. Christ said, anger is murder. Men angry without a cause, were murdered. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Looked upon somebody. Adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You even thought about it. Ever thought about sometimes you see something, you think, man, that'd be easy to steal. You stole it before God in the heart. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Oh, I wish I had that car. Oh, I wish I had that house. Oh, I wish I had that. Coveting what belongs to your neighbor. And look, soon as he gave this law, all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off and said to Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God's come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. That's what God's got to do. He's got to make us guilty, show us the thundering and the lightnings of his law in our heart to make us desire to have a mediator to go between us and God. And that's the next thing. bind the gospel on our heart. Look back at Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. Everybody thinks the righteousness of God comes by going to that law right there and keeping that law. We just saw we can't keep that law. It wasn't given for that purpose. It was given to declare us guilty. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Without your deeds to it, my deeds to it, without the law. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is what the law and the prophets declare. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's by what Christ did. It's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's what his righteousness declare. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, bind it in our heart and teach us that to be justified before God, if we're going to be justified, God's going to justify us freely. Without us doing a thing or earning it, he's going to do it freely. And he's going to do it through the redemption from that curse. And that redemption from that curse is in Christ only. Look here. Whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood. God showed us a mercy seat, a meeting place, and that meeting place is Christ Jesus. He set him forth and said, now, here's the one with whom, in whom I'll meet with you. And the only way I'm going to meet with you in him is through you believing on him, through faith. And look here, what's that for? To declare his righteousness for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that God might be just. He sent Christ to establish the law that God might be just, and that God might be the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. You see, if God saves us, what we're going to do is we're going to praise God. Because he sent his son, and God justified us in his son. And we're going to give him all the honor and all the praise. We're going to stop talking about our deeds and our doing, and we're going to praise him. We're going to praise him. I find myself praying, God, keep my heart. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a pretender. I want to believe on him. I want to trust him. I want to glory in him in my heart. And then look, in our text he said, and tie them about your neck. The first was on the inside. The next on the outside. But you know what happens? Listen to this. Every child here that doesn't believe on Christ, let me tell you something. This gospel is a heavy burden to you. It's a heavy burden for you to come here and hear it. It's a heavy burden for you to hear God declare you guilty. It's a burden you don't want on your neck to hear Christ works in his person preached all the time without something being given to you to do. It's a burden to hear anything concerning God's gospel. You don't have a heart to read his word. You don't have a heart to hear the gospel. It's a burden to you. That's the reason the commandments of your father and your mother are a burden to you. Did you hear what I just said? That's the reason you don't want to obey mama and daddy. Listen to this. When a sinner despises God's authority, he despises everybody's authority that God has put in authority. Whether it's civil, religious, or household. Despise it because you won't have Christ reign over you. And so you hate authority everywhere it is, wherever it's at. You don't like being told what to do. That's me and you by nature. And your mother and father know it because that's in them still. That's the problem with the heart that hadn't been broken and made contrite by the grace of God. Look at Acts 26:14. I want you to see this. Acts 26:14. Saul of Tarsus was the Apostle Paul. That was his name before God saved him, before Christ saved him. But look what Christ said when he saved him. Look at here. Verse 14, Acts 26:14, he says, we were fallen to the earth, and I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know who Saul was persecuting? He was persecuting Christ's people. When you rebel against mother or father who belongs to Christ, a believer of Christ, you're persecuting Christ. You rebel against authority that Christ has put in office. We rebel against Christ. Rebel against the authority at school. Rebel against Christ. Because Christ put them there. Anytime we were rebelling against authority, especially against his people, we're rebelling against Christ. And look what he said about it. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Imagine this. You get mad because somebody, mother, father, principal, teacher, pastor, somebody tells you something to do. You get angry about it. So you, in your anger about it, you rear back and hard as you can, you just kick a cactus with your bare feet. You think that's stupid because that's going to hurt. He said that's exactly what you're doing when you're rebelling against my people and against me. You're kicking a cactus and it's hurting you because God made it hurt. It produces sin and envy and strife and bitterness and hurt and sorrow, and that's all that comes out of it. That's all that comes out of it. And this is a principle Christ taught on his Sermon on the Mount, and it holds true in every aspect of your life. With the same judgment, the same condemnation that you judge, the same harshness that you rear back and kick, you're going to be kicked right back with the same. Ain't you proving it so? Get upset with your brother, your sister, and you yell at them loud. Did they yell back softly? They yelled back louder. Didn't they? Well, God's going to do it even louder. He's going to do it even harder. And we're either going to bow to him by his grace, or we're going to end up that ultimate cactus is going to be hell in the end. But let me tell you this. After he binds his word in your heart, and he makes you to bind, take them upon your neck, Christ said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Where does that go? On your neck. You put his yoke on you on your neck. That means you're under his authority, under his lordship, under his dominion. He's your master. You're going to obey and do what he says. And he says, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And here's what this bound upon your neck does. I'll give you rest. Rest. You mean I can find rest? I'll give you something to try. You just try this with your mother and father, and then you'll find out if this is true of God. Next time mother and father says do something, do it. See if you don't find rest. I guarantee you, you'll find rest. Whereas if you disobey, it's going to be like kicking a cactus with your barefoot. Well, God says, you keep kicking against me, it's going to be hard. But he says, you take my yoke upon you and submit to me, and you're going to find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. And he said, for my yoke's easy and my burden's light. Here's what it is. If you read over in Galatians, he said the works of the flesh are it's just all this mean stuff. Just all this sin and rebellion and all this. But here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what the Holy Spirit works in the heart. This is that ornament that's on the neck that adorns the believer outwardly towards fellow believers and towards everybody we come in contact with. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. That's why it's a gentle and easy yoke. He says, now you bind this on your neck. I'll tell you this, when a child's being chastened, they don't do this anymore, but fathers used to do this. You'd be driving down the road, and you're cutting up in the back, and your father say, don't make me stop this car and cut a switch. My father, I've heard it, you've heard it, and they'll stop and get out there on the side of the road and cut a switch. And we're such a refined people now, we can't do this sort of thing. The parents need to have a switch cut on them, but the parent would cut a switch, and they would switch you and whip you with a switch. And you know what you do when you're being switched? The only way to get rid of that switch is when your father's switching. The only way to get out from under it is to get up and hug up on your father as close as you can get because he can't hit you like this. When God's chastening you, the only thing for you to do is hug up on Christ. Hug up as close to Him as you can get. Bow to Him. And He said, you'll find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. Afterward, this is what the effect will be. Go back to our text, Proverbs 6:22. This is what the effect will be. Proverbs 6:22. When thou goest, it'll lead thee. When thou sleepest, His word will keep thee. When thou awakest, His word will talk with thee. You know what the purpose of life is? The reason we're here. You know what the purpose of every trial, every sorrow, and every joy is? The purpose of it is to show us God's wisdom, God's grace, God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. In some way or another, that's the purpose of it. And if you don't know Christ, you don't know the purpose of these things. You know what unbelievers, in the Scripture, you know what unbelievers, they serve one purpose. You know what that purpose was for? That purpose was to show believers the way of destruction and death. That's the only reason they existed, was to show me and you who believe the way of destruction and death. Do you want that to be the purpose of your life and why end up that's just the only thing you were here for? If you go through this world in unbelief and pass through this world in unbelief, that will be the only thing. Your legacy will be, we got to see the way of destruction and death. Life is hard. Very hard. And trials are hard. And then you face eternity. And the preparation for both is obeying the word of Christ, our Heavenly Father. That's the preparation for both. Obeying His word. Bowing to Him, resting in Him, trusting Him, and doing everything He says do. And then this will be the effect. When you go, wherever you go, wherever you, it'll lead you. His word. Christ our shepherd, and His word will lead you. I don't have time right now, but go home tonight, read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He leads me. He's my lead and He's my reward. It goes through telling about Him leading me and it ends up with, and mercy and truth will follow me. He's my God. When thou sleepest, it'll keep you. He said in Isaiah 28, you that have made a covenant with death and hell, you can't stretch out on that bed. The bed's too short and the covers are too narrow. But the best bed, and I mean literally you can stretch out at night and sleep, it's the best lock on the door. It's the most peaceful pillow that you'll ever sleep on, is knowing God chose me, God redeemed me, God called me, God's keeping me, and I have eternal salvation in my Lord. The worst anybody on this earth can do to me is just open up the door to usher me into my eternal inheritance. That's the worst. When you got that, when you sleep, His word will keep you. It'll keep you. And when you awake, it'll talk with you. You wake up and you got 1,000 burdens on your heart you got to face today. You wake up, what helps make that burden lighter is having Christ communing with you in your heart. That makes the burden lighter. I don't know what folks do go through this life that don't have Christ. I don't know what they do. And I don't know how in the world they face death without Christ. I don't know how. So here's the end. For us parents who believe, I pray Christ will use these burdens we have for our children to teach us more and more to obey our Heavenly Father. Every time you think, I wish that child would listen to me, hear God saying, I wish you'd listen to me. And for children of believers, know that peace in believing on the Lord Jesus is the only thing your mother and father want for you. That's the chief thing above everything else that they want for you. That's the purpose of every little mundane commandment they give you and the reason they try to teach you this gospel. They just want you to know the peace of God that passes understanding. That's it. I want you to attend the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to give you one more thing that I think is important. This is a recommendation. It's a recommendation, but I'm really telling you, do this. Get you a Bible. Get a real Bible. I know you're using these electronic things. Get you a real Bible. get you a King James translation. A Cambridge publisher is a good one because the marginal references are so good. I've preached the gospel to y'all just using marginal references out of it before. It's that good. Get you a Bible. You'll learn the books of the Bible. When you turn, you'll even learn where passages are on the page. And you'll turn and you'll know right where they are on the page. Get you a Bible. I'm not saying that's going to make you be saved. I'm just saying get you a Bible. It'll help you. And read the thing and heed what it says. Read it trying to believe God. Don't read it trying to find reasons to doubt Him. Read it trying to find reasons to believe Him. And here's why. Look back at our text. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment, the gospel, is a lamp, and the word of God's a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee from the harlot of false religion and the flattery that this world will give you and try to lead you away from God. I pray God will bless it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd plant it in our hearts, make us take this adorning gospel yoke upon our neck and obey you, trust you, and let us hear those that you've given to instruct us, to teach us the way, the truth. Let us hear them, Lord, as it is, that you're speaking through them and teaching us through them. Make us know that, understand it, and heed it. Lord, your way is the way of life that saves from the evil, destruction of death and sin and misery and hell. We pray now you make that word effectual in our heart. For Christ's sake, in his honor and glory we pray. Amen.